Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We want to welcome everybody, and we're so glad that you're with us here on this 14th Sunday after Pentecost, and we want to welcome everyone. We're glad that you're with us today. We want to welcome anybody that might be listening online, and a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about doing good together, and something about that, as we're going to look in the book of James, says something about who we are as a people, and it says something about our faith. So we'll be looking at that later on. So as we begin today, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it's now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Well, let's join together there for our call to worship. How lovely is your presence, O Lord of hosts.
We lift our hearts to you, O God, and our voices sing for joy.
Fortunate are those who worship in your house, O Lord.
We find our strength in you, O God.
Fortunate are those who dwell in your presence, O Lord.
We trust in you, O God.
Let us lift up our voices in song to God. Well, let's join together and do that. You can either turn in your hymn books to hymn number 76, or we have the words up on the PowerPoint. We're going to be singing the four verses there this morning.
For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the sky, for the love which from birth over and around us lies, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the wonder of each hour of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the brother, sister, parent, child, friend on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For thy church that evermore lived hands above, offering up on every shore her pure sacrifice of love. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grace.
Well, let's join together there for our opening prayer in your bulletin. Holy One of mystery and power, there is no one like you in heaven above or on earth below. Fill our lives with your glory and give us your strength so that we may stand in all the storms of life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to invite our children to come forward if they would like to. Are they willing to come up? You want to come up? Come up. See if you can. Stephanie over there. Oh my gosh, you guys are getting so big. I can't believe it. You can sit there. Yeah, go ahead and sit down. That's fine. Yeah, you can sit there. That's fine. Well, hello there. Is this
your
name?
Yeah.
Gosh, how are you doing? Do you remember coming here for VBS, don't you? We're going to have that again in December. Yeah, we're going to have another birthday party and a Bethlehem party we're going to call it this year. So you're back in school, aren't you? Yeah. Are you in first grade? First grade. Who's your teacher? Okay. Yes. So how are you guys doing today? You know what I forgot to bring? I forgot to bring candy. Oh my gosh. Does anybody have any candy? I did. I forgot to give candy, to bring candy today. Because I was going to give the kids a piece of candy. And when I got out of here and realized I forgot it, I was like hunting around the church. I'm like, come on, a church that doesn't have any candy, something's not right. But anyways, the reason I was going to bring some candy today is because I wanted to give you guys all a piece of candy. You know why? Because we're going to talk about doing good. Doing good. And there's something about doing good. Uh-oh, somebody's got some candy. Look at there. There's some mints. You want a mint? Oh, yeah. Well, you can have one. Yes. Oh, you like to have lots of mints? That's all right. We'll stay with these for right now. But thank you. I figured somebody had some candy. Yes. But I know my son, Chase, he's not here this morning, but he loves mints too. When he goes to Granny and Papa's, he always brings their mint jar. And anyways, so when we give you a piece of candy, I'm doing something good, aren't I? Yeah. That's like if I gave you a cookie. You like cookies? When you get to go over to Grandma and Grandpa's, do you get cookies? Do you get ice cream? Oh, yes. Yeah, Grandma and Grandpa's are great, aren't they? Yes. And so what we're doing is we're doing a little thing called doing good to somebody. You know, or what we sometimes hear in school, be kind. When we be kind, when we're being kind to somebody. And that's helping them out and all of those kind of things. You know what's a good thing to do for mom? Is to pick up your toys and put them away. You think that's a good thing that helps mom out? I think it is. Yes, it is. And so in our scripture reading from the Bible today, it tells us that the reason we are able to do kind things, and what motivates us is because God is kind to us. And God does all kinds of kind things and good things to us all the time. In fact, James, where we read from in the New Testament, in the Bible, that talks about it, James says that anything good that comes into our lives is because of God. Now, maybe God does that through mom, or dad, or grandma, or grandpa, or who, a friend, but it's because God has been good to us. Okay? All right. I think you can go back to your seats, and that's, well, Rhea may be taking it downstairs this morning. So you can go down. Remember Miss Rhea when she helped teach the lessons? Yes. And you probably saw her tool too, didn't you? Okay. There you go.
I wasn't sure if it would be good.
Okay, so this morning as we go to our time of prayer, maybe you have a joy or concern today that you would like to share, and I'm sure we're going to have many today, so let's begin. Who would like to start this morning? Yes. He's going to have surgery again, or he did. Okay.
He had it twice in one day.
Yes, yes. Have you heard any more? Because I was going to text Bev to find out how he's doing as far as recovery with that. Okay, I'll have to get a hold of her. Yes, you'll see Levi. He's a new one on our monthly calendar, monthly prayer list there. And he's a teenager who was having some... There was some growth, like quick growth. I mean, he looked like he grew a foot in like a year or something like that. And they had to go in and do some work on the one side of his leg because of that. And
his hip actually had cracked, his artificial hip. So they had to go in and fix that, and that's when they decided to shorten that.
Yes. Yes, thank you for reminding me about that. Yeah, yeah, and he ended up, it's a long story, but he had gotten an artificial hip because of all the chemo damage and treatment? Yeah, and the cancer, yeah. So, I saw another hand. Yep, go. Wait, hold on a minute. What was the name of the last person you mentioned?
Jess.
Yes.
J-E-S-S.
Oh, Jess. Okay, sorry. At first I thought you were saying Jeff, and then...
No.
Okay.
And then Betty Kirk. We need to keep her after.
Yes, I will say more about that in a minute, so... Aunt Sheila?
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding me of that, yes.
And then we had a joy last week. Mike Bacon asked us to pray for the interpreters that he had worked with. He's stationed in Texas, and those interpreters got out of Afghanistan.
Okay.
So we're praising the Lord for that.
Yes, and we definitely want to continue praying for the situation in Afghanistan. I think all of us are aware of that. And we probably want to keep Louisiana in our prayers because that will be hitting here in this afternoon. Last I had heard this morning, it was Category 4 and the hurricane coming in there and all of that, which you know how that's already... The southern part of Louisiana is below sea level anyway, so. Anybody else then?
Dad went into the hospital on Tuesday. He had a bunch of medical issues. They've gotten some of them straightened out, and on Friday he was transferred up to Piqua Manor.
Yeah, so Mike is in Piqua Manor now, which is probably a good thing because he needs to get the rehab. He really does, and so we want to keep him praying for healing and strength for him. And then I saw a couple other hands. Yeah.
Skip Milby, I talked to him this week, and he has COVID. Just keep him in your prayers.
Okay. Definitely want to keep him in our prayers. Anybody else? Yeah. Okay, so would that be Ensweiler or what, the last family name?
Oh, no, I don't know what
Okay.
No, that's his name. But it was her mother.
Okay.
But she was in her 90s and she just went downhill quick.
Yeah. And sometimes that happens, yeah. So, well, we want to remember that family in our prayers today. Anybody else today? Joy or concern? Yeah. Ah, that's great. Congratulations. Twin, great-granddaughters, right? Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Any others then? Yeah. Yes, and it is good to see Ellie with us today, yeah. Yep, she's on our list there, and we've been lifting her up. Let me give you a couple updates on some of these. Betty Kirk, Tom took her, I don't know if it was yesterday. Well, Rhea's not in here. If it was yesterday or Friday, down to Miami Valley, and she was bleeding, and they are trying to find out what's going on and what that involves. Tom said they did about 3 hours of testing yesterday, and then she is getting another. He stopped by the church this morning. We were talking, and he did she's getting another test done this morning. In fact, she's probably already done with it. And to find out what's going on or what is all happening, they do know that there is some lymph nodes like right next to her stomach that are cancerous. And they're not sure about elsewhere, at least as far as I know so far. But we definitely want to keep Betty in our prayers. It was pretty serious when Tom called me the other day and let me know what was going on. And she definitely, he said the bleeding is all under control now, but still they think there's something going on. They're trying to find out where it came from. So appreciate your prayers there. I saw Richard and Judy yesterday. Judy is doing very well. She's just using a cane to balance herself. They believe now that she did not have a stroke because all the tests have been coming back negative, a mini stroke. They believe that she had a UTI, and which I know can get very serious if you don't know you have it. And but she's doing it. But Richard still has a lot of issues going on there. I was talking to him. He's going to see some specialists coming up in the next 2 to 3 weeks, several of them, finding out why he's getting this numbness going up his arms and his legs. And so we appreciate your prayers, especially for him. Anybody else before we go to prayer this morning? Oh, yes. Thank you. I did have them written down. They're all blended in with everybody else. Appreciate your prayers for Jody's cousin, Susie Overholser. She's been battling issues for years, been diabetic, but she's really had some trouble with retaining fluid, and it got so bad that her kidneys started failing and some other issues. They think they got it under control better, but I think she's still in pretty serious condition, and appreciate your prayers for her. Also, Jody's sister Jill, and ask your prayers for her. Jody thinks she's got COVID, but I don't know if she's going to get tested or not. But she's got this serious thing in her sinuses and her chest and everything. But appreciate your prayers for her this morning. Not sure exactly what's all going on there. Any others then this morning? Well, as we go to prayer this morning, and Linda plays here for us, you can quietly pray there in your seats for some of the names that might come to you, and then I will close us out. Lord, as we pause today, we thank you. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for your presence in our lives in a special way because of Jesus and everything that he did for us. We're grateful for your grace and your love, and we ask for your hand and your presence to be real in this place today, that your hand and your presence and your grace would be real in the hearts of people today that have been named and mentioned. Lord, we just lift up each one of them to you. We lift up Richard to you today, asking for your healing touch and wisdom for the doctors, Lord, as they examine him and try to figure out what's going on. For Skip today, God. For Levi today, Lord. For Susie, Lord. For Jill, Lord. For Betty, God, Lord. For Mike today, Lord. For Georgia, Lord, thank you for bringing her through that little bit of surgery there to put a pacemaker in, and they were able to get that taken care of. For Jess today, Lord, for Sheila, Lord, for Ellie, God, we just continue to lift up each one of these today, asking for your healing touch, your healing grace, your peace, Lord, your presence in a special way. Lord, we continue to pray for the men and women that are serving right now. Especially we're thinking about our men and women that are serving in Afghanistan right now with the evacuation. Lord, we just ask that you would watch over them and protect them and keep them safe. And Lord, for all of those, the people that they're trying to get out of there, the Americans, the Afghanistans that have helped us in so many ways. And Lord, we also lift up Louisiana, Lord, with this hurricane coming. Lord, we just ask somehow that that will be able to dissipate before it hits the land. And Lord, we lift up this family that lost this loved one. God, we ask for your grace and your peace and your comfort. We lift up our first responders, Lord, and our medical personnel, our doctors and nurses. Especially we think about many of them in our inner cities where many of the hospitals are swamped with COVID patients and other things that are going on there when it just seems to be so overwhelming. And we just pray for your grace and strength through all of that during this time. And Lord, we're so thankful that we can call upon you in our time of need, that we can stand in the gap and pray for others. And we thank you for that privilege today. We ask that your blessing will be upon the rest of the service as we break the bread of your word. May it encourage us and strengthen us and speak to our hearts and send us forth out to be a blessing and to do good and to use us as we pray today. And we're thankful for that. Lord, we pray for those. I know there are some today that are gone, they're away this weekend. We just pray that you'll give them traveling mercies and be with them and bring them back and to be with us next Sunday in worship. And we're thankful for that as we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, I just realized that we didn't sing one of our hymns this morning. Are you ready to play? Well, you know what? Let's do it this way, since I kind of messed up. Let's go ahead and we will start taking up our offering, and then we will sing two verses of Great is Thy Faithfulness. And did you have a special song plan for the offertory? Is that all right if we do it that way? That's my apologize. I don't know what I was thinking this morning, but anyways. We're going to sing it here as soon as they come and we start going. Okay? All right. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving this morning. And we want to thank you for your faithfulness. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. And we're going to go ahead and sing Great is Thy Faithfulness. I believe it's 111, I think.
519.
What is it?
519.
519. Thank you. I was thinking of the other one. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassion. They fail not, as Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercy I see. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord. Now we can do the doxology. Ready to go. Let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. Loving God, in gratitude for all we have received, accept our offering that it may be used in your love. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you for adjusting this morning. I know sometimes we don't always like change, but well, our scripture reading this morning is coming from James this morning, James chapter 1, and we're going to be reading verses 17 through 27 this morning. And this is our lectionary reading today. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from God. These gifts come down from the Father, the creator of the heavenly lights, in whose character there is no change at all. He chose to give us birth by His true word. And here is the result. We are like the first crop from the harvest of everything He created. Know this, my dear brothers and sisters, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to grow angry. This is because an angry person doesn't produce God's righteousness. Therefore, with humility, set aside all moral filth and the growth of wickedness, and welcome the word planted deep inside you, the very word that is able to save you. You must be doers of the word and not only hearers, who mislead themselves. Those who hear but don't do the word are like those who look at their faces in a mirror. They look at themselves, walk away, and immediately forget what they were like. But there are those who study the perfect law, the law of freedom, and continue to do it. They don't listen and then forget, but they put it into practice in their lives. They will be blessed in whatever they do. If those who claim devotion to God don't control what they say, they mislead themselves. Their devotion is worthless. True devotion, the kind that is pure and faultless before God the Father, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their difficulties and to keep the world from contaminating us. That is God's word this morning, and I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be pleasing in God's sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen and amen. Well, Kevin walked into the doctor's office and the receptionist asked him what he had. Kevin said shingles. So she wrote down his name and address, medical insurance number, and told him to have a seat. 15 minutes later, a nurse aide said, "Kevin, come on back. Kevin, what do you have?" "Shingles." She wrote down his height and weight and complete medical history and told Kevin to just wait and the doctor would be in soon. Half hour later, a nurse came in and asked Kevin what he had. He said, "Shingles." So the nurse gave him a blood test, took some blood and checked his blood pressure and did an electrocardiogram on him and told Kevin then to take off his clothes and put on that little gown and wait for the doctor. An hour later, the doctor came in and found Kevin patiently sitting there and asked Kevin what he had. Kevin said, "I have shingles." The doctor said, "Where at?" And he said, "Out on my truck. Where do you want me to unload them?" I want to talk to you this morning about doing good together. Doing good together. You know, and it depends on the situation, but sometimes when Chase is kind to somebody or makes good choices or goes out of his way to do good, I often will sometimes give him a thumbs up, especially if I happen to be observing what's going on, or I'll say something to him about that. And I'm sure you may do that, or if your grandkids do that and you happen to observe it and it makes you proud when you see those kind of things. And in our reading today, James reminds the church that her mission is more than simply bringing people to Jesus, but extending God's enduring light and peace and goodness into all the world, into every part of society. In fact, if we would have read a little bit the verses before, which are not a part of the lectionary, they were they're in another year of lectionary readings. It talks about how some people in the church thought God was tempting them and thought maybe God might be bringing evil into their lives. And James says, "Oh, no, that's not true at all." He says, "That's not the way God works." In fact, as we're going to see here in a little bit, I believe that doing good says something, as I had up there earlier, says something about who we are as followers of Christ and says something about our faith and what we believe. James says it a little bit differently in his letter. He says it this way: faith without deeds is dead. In other words, we can't just say, I believe in Jesus, and then treat people rudely all the time or nasty or whatever else because we don't like their whatever, politics or beliefs or religion or whatever it is. And so this morning, as we look at this about doing good and what that means and what that involves, I want us to focus on two words this morning. Two words that I want us to just kind of hone in on that I think will help us in doing good, especially in relation to our faith. To our faith. So let's look at those first words here. Those two words. First word I want you to see is generosity. Generosity. And here's how we could say this. Doing good flows from God's kindness. I was sharing with the kids a little bit there, that one little line there. Doing good flows from God's kindness. Notice what James says there. Every generous act of giving. He doesn't say some. He doesn't say a few. He says every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is coming down from above, from the Father of lights. What is that saying to us? It says that God embodies goodness. God embodies generosity. It's like when I shared a few weeks ago when I said God is love. It doesn't say God acts lovingly or God chooses to love people. It says God is love. That means that God can do no other but to love. And here we see that God is good. Even Jesus said that. Remember the rich young man came to Jesus, fell at his knees, and says, Master, what should I do to inherit eternal life? I've done this, I've done that, I've kept these commandments and all of these things. And when he first came to Jesus, he said, good teacher. And Jesus says, wait a minute, why are you calling me good? He says, only God is good. So God embodies goodness. It's a part of his nature. God embodies generosity. If it's from God, listen to this, if it's from God, it's good and generous. Somehow we've gotten this mistaken identity. Well, I got this cancer because God's trying to show me a different way of living. I don't think that's scriptural. I don't think that's the way God works. And because James goes on to say there's no alteration, no change when it comes to God's goodness and generosity. You can know this morning that God is good and generous. And because of that, then, doing good is our grateful response to God's generosity, God's word, as we'll see here in a second. James says, working in us. Every time we do good, every time we go out and we do good and be a blessing and share something with somebody, we are expressing our gratefulness to God. Because sharing and doing good for others and being a blessing flows out of a grateful heart. Not only out of a grateful heart, but James says it flows out of God's word that is implanted in us. And it's a part of who we are. In fact, James says God's generous spirit has been birthed in us. So we are a part of God's identity as his children. And then the other thing there about this is doing good is a sign of God's generosity working in and through us. And that kind of goes along with what I had just said. Think of it this way. Doing good is how we imitate God. Paul, in a few places, says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And that's what we see going on here. So when we do good, we are imitating God because God is good. And we're going to sing that here at the end of the message here. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. And this is how we become doers of God's word, not just hearers. And this is also why James urges God's people to set aside things that hinder us from doing good. Or we could say, hinder God's generosity from flowing through us. You know, sometimes God may want to compel us to do good for somebody or be a blessing to somebody, and we can stop that. We can hinder that. And notice what he says there. And these are sometimes hard, even for me, as a guy and as an Egbert. My family and I will joke around, especially my wife, Jody, and my two sister-in-laws, Becky and Melanie, who are both married to my brothers. Us Egbert men, we can be watching something on the TV and people will try to say something to us and we won't even hear them. It's like we're in another zone, another time zone, you know. But notice what James says. He says, these are the kind of things that you should put asunder or put aside. Refusing to hear or listen. Speaking thoughtlessly. I'm kind of paraphrasing him in my words. Quick to get angry. Now, that word there, that the expression that's used there, James doesn't mean we're never going to get angry. But he means that our response to people is flippantly or quickly getting angry about things. It talks about our reading today said getting rid of moral filthness, but the Greek word has to do with earwax. And I started to think about that in connection with not listening. Is James saying that sometimes we can stop God's generosity from flowing through us because we are not listening to what's going on? Maybe what God's saying to us, or maybe what someone else is trying to say to us. I'm always amazed at people, and I've been in some situations where I'm with somebody, and we'll be talking to the same person, and that person will say something where they don't say it explicitly, but they hint at it. It's implied in what they're saying that they're hurting or they're in need, and how either I pick up on it or the person with me picks up on it immediately. And then our response sometimes is, oh, what's happening? What's going on? What do you need? That's being open, because in that moment, because we were listening, it may be an opportunity for God's generosity or blessing to flow through us to that other person. And I think that's why James says, just kind of lay aside those things, people, so that God's generosity can flow through you to others and not be hindered. Generosity. And then the second word I want us to hear is community. And just real quickly, these two things here, because James talks about how all of this happens in community. If we're going to make a difference, we make a difference among one another. And then when we go out, we make a difference out there as a community of faith. Why is that? Well, I think there's a couple reasons here James talks about. Community encourages goodwill. It does. When the church pulls together and puts faith into action, puts deeds with faith, remarkable things happen. One of those acts of goodwill, as James says there, is caring for widows and orphans in need. And then he makes the strangest statement. It's a sign of true devotion, or the Greek word can mean piety or religion. Interesting. Doing good is a sign of true religion, true piety, true devotion to God. And then community encourages giftedness. Now, in Greek, and so you can't see this unless you read it in Greek. In Greek, words like grace, generosity, joy, they're all based on a common root, which means they're all relatives of one another. And it lets us know that our gifts flow from God's generosity and grace. And here's the thing I want you to see. Every one of us is gifted in one way or another from God. Every one of us. You might be saying, I don't know what my gifts are. I don't know what that is. Well, it usually falls along a couple lines. What are you good at? And what are you passionate about? Or what do you love to do? You may find that that is where you're gifting. And here's the reason I share that, and I think this is why James says this, is because churches, the community of faith, can accomplish great things when people operate in their gifts, work together, pool their resources, and make a difference and be a blessing. And we've seen that in our church, haven't we? Every one of us has seen that in one way or another, haven't we? When we've given to the book thing, when we give to the shelter, when we do our different outreaches that we do, when we make the ornaments for the trees, for the hospice patients. I mean, I could keep going on and on and on and on. Think about how when we do this together collectively versus just me on my own at my house, what a difference we make. And community enables us to practice our giftedness and do good. You probably heard it said many times, and I remember hearing it. And kind of as a preacher, those words come and hit me in the face often because of what I do for a living and my calling. You've probably heard the saying, actions speak louder than words. We've all heard that, haven't we? Yeah. And I think too often we sometimes spend time, too much time debating issues and getting worked up about what we're against and what we don't like happening in America or our world or whatever. And not enough time just doing good. I heard somebody recently on TV, I was watching one of the little segments on Channel 7, and I can't think of the Jim Baldwin? No, that goes back too far, doesn't it? Well, anyways, one of the reporters had gone out and done a side thing, and he found this 87-year-old guy, I don't know if you saw it on Channel 7 News, walking around his community and picking up trash. And they were interviewing a guy who was sitting on his front porch, and he goes, yeah, he's out there almost every day doing it. And then I'll never forget what the gentleman, not the guy that was picking up the trash, but the gentleman that was sitting there because he was coming down through and picking up trash in his area, he said to the Channel 7 guy, he goes, isn't it good you guys are reporting on something good that somebody is doing? And I thought, wow, isn't that so true? Because deep within ourselves, I think we know that our beliefs aren't worth much if we're not acting in love and doing good to make a difference somehow in some way. And that can come in a variety of ways. It could come right through what you do every day for a living. Or it could be come in other ways. And I hope we realize that doing good reflects God's generosity. And it's a way that we build community, which then extends that doing good. In other words, our deeds show the kind of people we really are. So let's keep doing good together. Amen. Amen. Well, if you want to do a little fist bumping or elbow, whatever, shake a few hands or just say hi for just a minute or two, and then we'll go ahead and close out with our final little chorus, God is so good this morning. God is so good. This is 116 there this morning.
God is so good.
God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me. Well, let's join together there for our benediction. Go forth encouraged in the Lord, sharing God's love.
Go forth with joy and strength in
the Lord. Go extending God's hands and feet in this world, blessed by our abundant God. Amen.